He is the pride of Cape Town, South Africa, and the current reigning and defending Bo Dog Fight middleweight champion. It's a pleasure to welcome Trevor Prangley to Jerry Park. What's going on, Trevor?
Not much, man. Just taking in the snow up here in Idaho. So.
Yeah, is it pretty bad over there?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. We've got a lot of snow on the ground, yeah, so just not much to do, you know?
Except, just, I guess, train, right?
Yeah, working out and lying around, I guess, you know.
All right, so a lot of people are wondering, you know, the last time we saw you was in November in the Strikeforce four-man tournament, the middleweight tournament, which unfortunately you came up a little bit short. Was wondering when your next fight was going to happen.
Next fight's supposed to be in the middle of April. You know, after that tournament, I fought a lot that year, and I just needed some time off, so I took 3 months, and I haven't done anything, and I just started back training now a week ago, so I'm looking forward to getting back in the ring and giving the people something to watch.
Will that fight be for Strikeforce? Will be a Bo Dog fight with another organization?
You know what? I'm not exactly sure, really. I'd have to ask my management. I'm just training. I train. I fight. They take care of all the details. It's always been my policy. So.
And do you have any idea as to who you'll be facing in April?
I don't. I don't have any idea who we're going to be facing yet. I know they're looking around for an opponent, and it's still a ways out. So I'm sure they'll get me somebody tough. You know, I always seem to be fighting the tough guys. But, you know, I'm ready for it. I'm ready to get back in the ring. You know, I took that loss against George, and I want to get back and get a win under my belt.
Will you be defending your Bulldog title in April? Do you know that?
I believe it will be a title defense, yes.
Okay, cool. So when you're making, you know, when your management team is making fights and, you know, deciding where you're going to be fighting, do you have to do that through Bodog, or are you exclusive to Strikeforce now that they have a relationship, or can you kind of go wherever you want?
Well, basically, I'm still under contract with Bodog.
Okay.
But they let me fight just about anywhere I want, you know, as long as I give them a heads up and talk it out with them. But I have a management team. You know, I got Lincoln Entertainment manages me. They take care of all my stuff, so I don't have to deal with it. It's stressful when I'm fighting, you know what I mean? I don't want to have to stress about where I'm fighting and who I'm fighting.
Right, absolutely. And how many fights left do you have on that Bodog contract?
Just one more fight, so.
Just one more fight. Interesting. So there could be a possibility where your contract will expire and you're still the title holder at 185.
Yeah, they could be. I know they're talking about renegotiating just before those fights, so we'll see what they come up with.
Now that the situation with Bodog is a little different than really a year ago, I mean, last year they were putting on big shows, doing a lot of TV tapings. It seems as though now they've taken the approach that they're going to kind of sponsor different fights or different events, such as the Strikeforce one. Are you happy with the current climate within Bodog Fight right now?
You know, I'm happy with it for the simple fact that, nothing's changed as far as my contract and how many fights I'm allowed to have and all that, so it really doesn't matter to me what the company itself does. What matters to me is that I get to fight often enough to, you know, pay the bills or whatever it is, or just to stay active, and that's all I want. And they've done that for me in the last year, and I'm sure they'll do it for me in the future if we do decide to resign.
You know, despite everything that you hear about Bodog on the negative side, the one positive, among others, we always hear how well they treat the fighters. Would that be the same situation with you? Have they treated you better than some of the other organizations that you worked for in the past?
Yeah, they've treated me better than any organization I've ever worked with, you know, and that is one. Most of the fighters you talk to are really happy with the way they get treated, so I can't complain about that at all.
What's an example of how they would treat you better than some other company?
Well, you always get put up in a decent hotel, you know what I mean? There's always 3 meals a day. If you need something, they got what they call fighter handlers who handle a group of 3 or 4 fighters. So if you need something, you call him and he gets it taken care of. It's really just, they make it as, they don't give you a whole ton more perks, but you get, they make it as easy as possible when you're at the fight. You know, whatever you need, you've got. So within reason, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, they're not going to give you the bank, but you said that you had one fight left. Have any of the other companies sent out feelers, you know, the Elite XCs or IFLs of the world, even maybe the UFC, about trying to see where your head is at, where you'd like to
fight? I know my management was speaking to the WEC. I know Strikeforce is out there, and I'm sure if I put a call into the Elite XC, I could go there too. So I'm not really concerned. You know, when it comes time to renegotiate, like I said, I'll let my management handle it, and I'll confer with them when they have a couple of options on the table. You know, I don't like to get involved in that part of it. A lot of fighters like to get involved and manage themselves and all that. I just don't like that, you know. So
the WEC one is interesting because, as everyone knows, they're affiliated with Zuffa, but they try to keep everything separate. Do you like the way that, you know, they're trying to clearly not have it be viewed as sort of like the feeder organization for the UFC, really keep them as two separate entities? Would you be content signing with WEC when knowing that Zuffa is the one really controlling everything?
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be the end of the world for me, you know. It's I don't really care who's controlling it, as long as I get to fight and I'm making a living, you know. That's all I care about. I like I said before, and I always say, I like to stay out of the politics of fighting. There's a lot of out there, you know, a lot of negative stuff. There's also a lot of positive stuff. And as a fighter or a promoter or a coach or whatever, you can get caught up in that, and it can distract from your concentration on what your job is. And my job is to go out there and entertain people and to fight other guys, you know, and to win my fights and to make a living for my family. It's not to worry about who controls what organization and, you know, what are they doing behind the scenes and all that crap. You know, that I leave to everybody else. I leave that to the internet and all the other people to bark about. I just want to fight. I want to put on a good show. And I think that I need to step away from all this politics and complaining and negativity and just concentrate on what my job is.
Yeah, well, I guess you could leave that to people like me. But was there a time, though, when you did get caught up in it? Because you seem to have a very firm stance on not being involved in that. Was there a time when you look back and you said, well, you know, I was focusing too much on that and that might have, you know, led to a loss against, you know, such and such fighter?
There's times when I've let it affect me a little bit. I mean, everybody's human, you know what I mean? You hear some things that are said here and there and, you know, you get caught up in it. But for the last year or two, I've just managed to take a step back and not really bother about it, because it does affect your training schedule. It does affect your life. You know, you get something, some news that you don't agree with, or you hear something that somebody said, and you know, it's just, or you get on the forum and read the forum, and you just, you know what I mean? It's just stuff I like to stay away from, and I think I perform better staying away from it, and that's the reason why I do it. There's no specific incident that happened or anything like that. I just I found that my performance, when I isolate myself from all the talking and all the garbage that's out there, you know, I just perform better.
You know, you mentioned that you have a potential fight going down in April. This past September, there seemed to have been some talk and some, you know, discussion leading to a potential bout with Matt Lindland, and obviously that hasn't happened yet. Is that something that's still being discussed right now? Something that's, you know, sort of still on your horizon while you're still have the contract with Bodog?
You know what? I don't think so. I don't think Matt Lindland's still with Bodog at the moment. So, you know, I don't think that fight's going to happen under the Bodog title, under the Bodog banner at all. So, you know, if it happens under another banner, that's fine. You know, Matt, I know Matt well. We've spoke a lot, and, you know, I think it'll be a pretty good fight, but it's just not going to happen under the Bodog banner, I don't believe.
That's too bad. A lot of people were looking forward to it, but like you said, it could happen under a different organization. I wanted to ask you about the Strikeforce tournament that you were last involved, because over in North America, you know, it's very common in Japan, but here it was the first of its kind in a few years. Now when you look back, obviously you made it past the first round and went into the finals with the eventual loss to George Santiago. When you look past on it, was that a positive experience for you, or something that you'd really rather not be involved in again?
Well, you know, tournaments always, they're fun, you know, and just to say it was a positive experience for me, you know, it was half and half, really. You know, obviously a loss is never a positive experience.
Right.
And but being in a tournament style, you know, it's acceptable that, you know, the favorite sometimes loses. You see Vanderlei fell out of the tournament. Dan Henderson didn't win the Pride Grand Prix. You know, these things happen in a tournament often. It doesn't work out in your favor, and it all depends on the draw. You know, George, he is tough, and, I mean, he deserved to win that night. He was on form and everything, but he did have an 18-second first fight as opposed to my 7-minute war with Salonika Vitale, you know, and I just didn't feel like I was on form that night either, not taking anything away from any of the other fighters, but I'd come off that was my 7th fight in 14 months, and I think I was just burnt out, you know. It's a big weight cut for me. I cut a lot of weight for every fight, and I think it took its toll on my body, and that's the reason why I've taken this time off now, just to recover, and I feel a lot better, and looking back at it now, I don't think I'll do that many fights again in 1 year.
Speaking of the Vitaly fight, that was an interesting one because there was some controversy involved with the eye poke and then having to go to the referee's decision to give you the bout. Were you okay with? I mean, obviously you're happy that you moved on, but it was an interesting one because some people had scored the first round to Vitaly, and then you were actually doing better in round two before the match was stopped, and the ref gave the actual decision to you. Did you think that whole situation was handled well?
I think so. You know, as far as what the ref was probably looking for is who was trying to win that fight. And yeah, my performance wasn't the best in the first round, but I stayed in there. I was trying to finish the fight. The second round, I came out and was trying to finish the fight. You know, I wanted to get him out of there. Not to say he wasn't doing the same, but I was taking control of the fight in the second round then. And I feel that the eye poke, you know, I didn't feel myself poke him or whatever. I don't know what the deal was, but I hit him with a very big body shot right before that, and I think he just was taking a chance and getting a breather and didn't think that would stop the fight. That's my opinion and the opinion of some of my corner guys too. Whether or not it's true, I don't know, but that's, you know, if you watch the fight, he got hit with a big body shot and just took a lot of the fight out of him right there. So,
had you ever seen a situation like that where the ref was the one to, you know, and not go to the judges' scorecard and the one who would actually be the deciding factor in who would move on in the fight or in a tournament like that?
No, I haven't, to be honest with you. But what I believe happened was the judges' scorecards had it one round to him, one round to me, basically, because I was winning the second round. So, you know, it was a draw. And
right.
With that tournament, it had to go to the ref. That was because the California State Athletic Commission wouldn't allow a third and final round if it was a draw.
Right.
So the only way they could keep it from being a draw and both fighters not going on was to give it to the ref. So I don't know what else they could have really done, you know.
Yeah, good point. Before that actual tournament, what we were told was that the winner of the tournament would eventually face Frank Shamrock for his title. And that, when you look at Frank Shamrock, what he has lined up, it doesn't really look like, you know, Santiago is ever going to be facing him, at least not.
No, I really don't know where that rumor started, but I don't think that was ever going to happen.
Okay, so they never told you guys that the winner would face Shamrock.
No, I heard that over the internet. I heard it from other people, but we were never told that. So.
Okay, so I guess there is no discrepancy there. Now, do you have any sort of deal with Strikeforce, or was that just through the Bodog contract?
Well, you know, with Strikeforce, before I signed with Bodog, I had a verbal agreement with Strikeforce to do a four fights with them. And when the Strikeforce contract came up, we spoke to them. And, you know, when the Bodog contract came up, we spoke with him, and he said, oh, as long as I get my fights out of you over the, you know, next couple of years, I'm fine with it. So we signed with Bodog, and Bodog's been allowing us to fight on that show. So I guess I'm killing two birds with one stone, really. I'm fulfilling my Strikeforce and Bodog contracts when I fight on the card there.
Right, so it would seem as though you only have one fight left with them as well, because you've had three. You fought Ruiz, Vitaly, and Santiago, right?
Yeah, I guess if you look at it that way, yeah, I didn't think of the tournament as two fights, but yeah,
oh,
I guess
really?
I do have one.
Do they go by event and not by fight?
I think so, because it only took one fight off my Bodog deal. So.
Oh, okay, got it. All right. Just a couple of questions before I let you go. I wanted to talk to you just a bit about your background, you know, the wrestling background, being from South Africa. Was that always, I mean, we know that you wanted to eventually go into the Olympics and that fell short. At what point did you realize that MMA was something that a viable career? Because, you know, 20 years ago, amateur wrestlers, they really, you know, once you graduate, once the Olympics are over, you really have to look for a real job. At what point did you think, okay, MMA is something that I actually make a living in?
Well, you know what, it probably wasn't until about 4 or 5 years ago. You know, I started training in MMA back in 98 while I was still wrestling at college. And, you know, I enjoyed it a lot. It was just something new for me, and I just did it basically recreationally. I had, 20 amateur fights, over 20 amateur fights, which aren't even on my record on any of the websites, but I just did that. You know, those cost me money. I paid to drive down there and all that, you know what I mean? I did it because I enjoyed it. And then when everybody started pulling together and the pros started to come up and the website started coming up, I started to think there might be a future in it, but you never know, you know, because it was really hard back then. It was only the UFC where people was making money, really, and, you know, they're only throwing one or two shows a year. So if you do the math, it's not really a viable option because they can't use you every show and they're not paying that much money. So, you know, it really wasn't up until about 3-4 years ago when the other organization started coming up and so on, that I decided to quit my job and just do it full time.
Why do you think wrestlers have been doing so well in mixed martial arts as of late?
I think because wrestling is probably the most physical sport other than MMA out there, you know, and they're used to taking knocks, although there's no punching. Wrestling is extremely physical. The training is extremely grueling compared to other sports. And I think just as far as being able to control somebody, that's what wrestling is. It's controlling somebody, and you learn some submission defense. And if all else fails, you can always take someone down to the ground, control them, and beat them up on the ground. You know, and as of late, the wrestlers are learning to become kickboxers too. And when you got a guy that can beat you on kickboxing, you can't get into the ground, you're in a lot of trouble. And I think that's why the wrestlers are doing and will continue to be the best MMA fighters out there.
All right, so now you're residing in Idaho in the United States, but back home in Cape Town in South Africa, when you fight, what kind of a fan base do you have over there? Because you don't hear a lot of many South African mixed martial artists. Do you have some people who will watch all your fights, a dedicated and loyal following over there?
You know what? I've got a few people over there that follow me, but I don't think it's that big over there as far as people following me. But it is growing. There's little shows all the time, just like it started off here, you know. Just like a baby sport starts in every country. It's little shows in nightclubs or whatever. And then, but it is growing from what I understand. I just got back from there. I was over there for a month on vacation, and it's looking like it's growing bigger and bigger there.
Would that be, you know, before you retire, would that be a goal of yours to one day fight, you know, now that you've really established yourself on a card in South Africa?
Yeah, I am hoping. There's been talk that Bodog's been thinking about doing it, not really talk, but it's more of a thought. So I'm hoping that they pull that off before I retire. I would love to fight over there. I think it would be great, you know.
Yeah, it would seem as though if there's one organization out there that would hold a fight in South Africa, it would be Bodog, just because of all the unique places that we've seen those fights go down. All right, Trevor, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us today. Good luck in April, and continued success, whether it's in Bodog or Strikeforce or any of the other organizations out there.
Well, thanks, man. Thanks for having me on the show. I thank all the fans, and God bless you all.